Hello. Hey, Catherine.
Hey.
Hey. I decided I should speak in a lower voice.
Why is that?
You know, it's what the professionals do.
Is it because Maeve said you talk like a baby?
Yeah, that was it. I'm not actually trying to change my voice. I just felt like I sounded different today. I haven't spoken aloud all morning, you know? You open your mouth for the first time and it's like, what?
Yeah. Okay, well, Jim, I'm going to quote you.
Quote me.
Yes, this is a favorite Jim Hamblin quote.
Uh-oh.
First debuted on Twitter. This is March 24th, 2020. Quote, no, comma, things are not bad enough to reach out to your ex, end quote. So where is that coming from?
I guess I had picked up from however people pick things up these days that this was a thing that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that sentiment of reaching out to exes during this time?
My feeling is that bridges should be burned.
Okay. Just romantically or all of them?
Just like once you cross a bridge, make sure it's burned behind you.
Oh my God.
You don't want anybody sneaking up behind you, you know, surprising you. Commit to your path.
I find that very weird because you spend a lot of time getting to know someone and then just abandon it entirely instead of being like, well, we could still be, you know, there are still things that are good about you that we can keep up at least for a little while.
You seem to like to remain sort of ambiguously entangled with things from the past.
That's one way to see it.
But aren't you saying not to do that?
We've advocated like a lot of reaching out during this show. You know, just make sure people around you are okay. If you're on good terms with someone, and especially if you have reason to think that they might not have anyone to look out for them and might not be doing well, I think that should supersede any like, I don't know, time to put past like grievances aside, I'd say.
Jim, you presented a very strong take in this tweet and now you're undermining it. We need somebody to help us sort this out, obviously. So we're going to talk to Ashley Fetters, who has done some actual investigation of this.
Yeah, we need clear to talk. Thinking. She's much more up on the cultural norms than we are.
Great.
Let's see if she can hit us with some science. Can you do the Radiolab music here?
Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
You know, hanging in there.
So, Ashley, we need your counsel.
Okay.
Jim and I have a bit of a disagreement.
Mm, okay.
Which begins with the fact that Jim has sent out a misleading tweet.
Okay.
He said repeatedly on Twitter during the pandemic, no, things are not bad enough to reach out to your ex, which I agree with. But then I've been talking to him, and he actually seems to prefer to remain entangled.
You keep using that word, entangled. I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, entangled is very juicy.
I would not use that word.
So I think our question for you today is, on a micro level, should you text your ex right now? And on a macro level, what is happening to feelings and relationships in this strange time?
Ashley, what is happening to feelings?
I mean, I'm glad you asked because right now that seems like my entire beat. So, let's tackle that first one first, right? Like, is it okay to text your ex right now? I do think the reason why you text your ex is going to be a big factor here. Like, why people are texting their exes right now is often out of boredom. It's out of loneliness. It's out of just kind of like trying to entertain yourself, you know, or trying to satisfy some sort of lingering romantic or sexual desire when, you know, you don't really have access to new people.
Because this is happening right now, right? It's not just me. I didn't make this up. I was picking up that this is a trend that people are doing.
This is happening right now, yes. This is definitely happening. I first heard about it from people who were receiving these texts saying, like, is anyone else's ex, like, anyone else's exes, plural, coming out of the woodwork right now, which kind of gave me the tip that like, oh, maybe this is something to look into, right? So of course I like looked into it. And what I found was that like, yes, some people felt that their exes were texting them, getting back in touch after like weeks, months, years of radio silence just because they were lonely and bored and, you know, maybe horny. So I think, you know, there is that. I think also the other reason people are texting their exes is to patch things up or to clear the air or apologize. Like, one of the things that came up that I thought was one of the more compelling things I heard in my reporting on this was it's related to something called terror management theory. And terror management theory is this idea that when people are
it really
feels like it escalates quickly, right? But but it's this idea that, like, when people are confronted with their own mortality, like the fact that they will will die sooner or later, they start to seek meaning. They start to think about religion more, and also things like their personal relationships and their family relationships. Which we are getting a little bit morbid for this conversation. That's like a light, fun conversation about exes. But I think a lot of people right now are like confronting, some of them for the first time, this idea that death is very possible and very close, and are kind of feeling this impulse to, you know, say, I should apologize to this person, or maybe I should clear the air and get back on good terms with this person, or, you know, resolve this conflict that I, you know, let linger.
So it's not about the other person. It's about you. It's about the reacher outer.
As always, yes.
Yeah.
As always, yes. A lot of these people are confronting this idea of, like, I could die.
Yeah. I like that your two alternatives are either that you are, people are experiencing either tremendous existential grief and trying to put things in order so that their soul can be at peace forever, mm-hmm. or they're horny.
Yeah, horny or confronting mortality. Really the two lanes of
it's hard to know
where we go with this.
How,
yeah.
So, how would one go about distinguishing, if they were to read a text message, what the motive on the other end might be?
I think one tack to take here is just to be really polite if you receive one of these text messages, or if you're sending them. If you are texting someone and sending a you up text, like, there's an impulsivity there that's palpable, right? So I think it's best to avoid that tone if the next thing you're going to say is like, hey, I've been really thinking about how I wronged you. You don't want to start with you up.
Right. If you were to compose such a text that was not meant to you up anyone, mm-hmm. but was meant to simply say, you know, I've been thinking about you, mm-hmm. and I appreciate you, and I worry that I didn't make that clear because I was so horrible to you for all those years when we were living in Phoenix. And I am sorry about what happened on the boat.
Is what you're asking, like, how would I compose that text message?
Yeah.
I think that's a really good first draft.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a really good final draft, even.
P.S.
You know,
I'm not trying to make out.
I mean, it's really hard and in some places illegal to make out right now, to leave your house. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's like, that part kind of goes without saying. No, I think, you know, this is a little bit off topic, but I think what your draft of that says is, like, you know, it hits all the right points of, like, I've been thinking about this. I feel bad about it. I am sorry for this specific thing. I think there's a lot of really good ingredients you've got there already. So I wouldn't stray too far from what you just said.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of how many of these reach outs are genuinely motivated by concern for the other person? Do you think that's happening a lot, or is it like just weird stuff about mortality and sex?
When I started reporting the story, I really thought it was going to be a lot more shady late night drunk texting going on. And what I found was that it was a lot of people being like, no, I just really wanted to make sure that my ex-boyfriend's grandma, who is, you know, immunocompromised, is okay. Or, you know, I just thought this would be a good time to sort of check in. It gave us something to be kind to each other about and kind of, you know, get back on a good note together.
Yeah.
And I think that has given a lot of people cover to reach out to their exes that they, like, maybe wouldn't have known how to reach out to before.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go someplace a little less loaded and more fun. What about crushes? People who have not already emotionally ruined each other and seem potentially excited about this and yet have felt reluctant because, say, they see each other all the time and it would be awkward to admit the crush. But now they don't have to face seeing that person if they say no, so they're reaching out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the same stuff applies here. The same reasons you would reach out to an ex are sometimes the same reasons you would reach out to a crush to reveal your feelings to them. And like, you know, one of the obvious things is that like everyone's bored, lonely, spending a lot more time with their own thoughts. And if you had some crush that you were spending a lot of time thinking about in the before times, you're thinking about them a lot more now that you have fewer distractions. And I guess something too that plays directly into this is social media, like Facebook, which, you know, crucial fact here, owns Instagram as well as WhatsApp. Like they wrote in a blog post late last month that they had seen a spike in user engagement over all their platforms and a 50% increase in DMs between people.
So what are people doing? Asking to go for walks? You can't like go to a show or a restaurant or a bar and you're not.
Yeah.
Well, we could go for a distanced walk, like where we're pretty far apart, but we're walking together.
Anecdotally, I have heard of people doing that. Like if like especially if they live in the same neighborhood or neighborhoods that are like reasonably distanced apart, they like walk, meet at the same street corner, and then take a walk to a less crowded street and like keep six feet of distance between them. And you know,
oh man, I can't imagine a more awkward thing.
I know it sounds really awkward to me too, but you know, I'm sure it you know beats being alone in your apartment.
People are getting desperate. There's always Zoom though, right? Or people don't want to conduct their business and their dating life in the same place.
Yeah, I think that's a piece of it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess when I picture like doing a date via Zoom, there's so much I don't know about, you know, how tall is this person? How do they walk? Like, what is it like to be near them? How do they make you feel? I just feel like there's so much that you wouldn't know if you just were like, hey, let's do a FaceTime or do a Zoom.
Huh. It would be weird if you did a Zoom and then the person was like, yeah, no, I'm busy. It's like hard to get out of things after that. It's so much easier in real life where you might actually have a thing to go to.
Mm-hmm. So like, Zoom excuses are something that have been really interesting to me.
Oh, what's a Zoom excuse?
My favorite has been like, I have to cook dinner or like, I have to cook whatever meal is next. That usually has gotten me out of things I don't want to get into.
I have to go wash my hair.
What about, you wrote about something that I thought, in addition to terror management theory, you also wrote about the misattribution of arousal. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, the misattribution of arousal. There's a very famous study on this from, you know, the late 70s where what they did is they had people either cross a really rickety, old, scary bridge and then do a survey with a researcher. And then they had some people like cross a really stable bridge. And then what they found was that like when this researcher said, it was a attractive like female researcher talking to men who crossed this bridge. And when, she said to all of them, like, here's a, you know, quick survey. Can you like tell me what's on your mind right now? And then, you know, you can call me next week if you want to know more about my study. And then what they found was that like there was much more like sexual content in the recollections of the men who had crossed the scary bridge. And then they were also more likely to call her later and kind of be flirtatious with her.
Because can we just pause for a moment
and
pay respect to research study designers who come up with the most
I know,
ridiculous scenarios. Okay, so they're going to cross a bridge, but some of mm-hmm. them, the bridge is going to be really rickety.
Yeah. And it might make them think they're horny. Yeah. I think one thing that a researcher said to me when I was reporting this story on like why people are confessing their crushes right now is she kind of hypothesized that maybe people are mistaking the terror of the world outside right now is in chaos and danger. People are attributing that to like, oh, maybe I just have really intense feelings for this person I like.
Did you hear any stories of people who were like, I'm not going to, like, I'm having these feelings, but I'm not going to share them?
Yes, I heard a really fascinating story. I talked to someone who had kind of for a while had feelings for his roommate. It's two guys who live together, and it's just the two of them in their apartment. And I think, you know, he had started to have some feelings before everything got shut down. And then, of course, now that they, you know, are both working from home, he, you know, is literally trapped inside with all of his feelings. And he and his roommate had found that they, you know, just fell into a routine of like, you know, they would work side by side all day and then they would, you know, eat lunch together and take walks together. And just kind of, it started to feel like to this, you know, guy I talked to who had these feelings for his roommate, that it kind of started to feel like they were in a relationship. So of course, you know, this story really stuck with me. And at the time I talked to him for the story, he was kind of making the decision of like, do I tell him or do I not? Because obviously the stakes there are very high. If it's someone that you live with and it's just two of you, like, it could go one really positive way or one really negative way. So when I checked in with him last, he gave me the update that he was kind of leaning against selling his roommate or making any sort of big declaration. I think he is sort of making peace with the idea that his relationship with his roommate is just more of a really strong friendship, and he should probably move out when it becomes possible to do so.
Well, can you go back and say that they got married?
No, sorry, Jim. I don't think I can do that.
So, I mean, all of this, Ashley, is taking place in the context of a strange moment for sort of relationships and dating in general, right? I mean, people who are together are really together now, right? Mm-hmm. And people who are not with people are very not with people. So can you put this into context of just like the weirdness of all relationships now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an unprecedented curveball for every romantic relationship. And one thing I do kind of see coming out of this is I think a lot of relationships, especially like new ones or ones that were like kind of on the wane, will be broken by it. And I think some will be very quickly accelerated by it. I kind of anticipate that we'll see a wave of coronavirus engagements from people who like maybe weren't so, or maybe even like coronavirus cohabitations, right? But where it's like people were hesitant to move in together, hesitant to make that kind of commitment. And then like they'll see during this time that like actually they like it. Or I mean, you could also very easily discover the opposite, that you know, you de facto move in with someone and you hate it, so you don't continue. But I think this will like clarify and catalyze a lot of decisions for a lot of couples.
Right, right. I guess one way to think about this is just people are kind of being more open and honest than in pre-pandemic times. It's harder to maintain BS right now.
Yeah.
I'm curious, did anyone give you guidance on how to think about like why moments like these sort of expose all of our nerve endings?
I mean, I think that sort of plays into the terror management theory thing, right? Like now's the time to sort of, you know, seek meaning and sort of interrogate, how do you really feel about things? How do you really feel about the life that you've lived? So I think that's, you know, that's part of what gets us there to this place of unprecedented honesty with each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I gotta go wash my hair.
Yeah, I gotta go make lunch.
I gotta go Google terror management theory for the next like hour.
Enjoy that.
All the way down. Yeah. Terror management theory.
Thank you so much for
talking to us.
Thanks, you guys. This was fun.
All right.
Have a good one, you guys.
Later.
Bye. Wait, terror management theory seems so interesting. Can I just read you what I'm finding right now? Terror management theory, TMT, is both a social and evolutionary psychology theory originally proposed by some people and codified in their book called The Worm at the Core on the Role of Death in Life. Just one more note while you're paused. Wikipedia says that people with low self-esteem have more negative emotions when reminded of death.
Huh.
Just a little food for thought.
I think you need to stop reading Wikipedia. I think, you know, some of that stuff I've heard is not true.
Okay. Well,
time for credits.
All right.
The show was produced today by Alvin Melth with help from Anna Waters and Jacqueline Landry. Please write us at socialdistance@theatlantic.com. or call us at 202-642-6487. If you like our show, please tell your friends virtually and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. It'll help more people find the show.
Beautiful.
I'm glad we changed your mind today, Catherine. This has really been a full journey for me, and I feel
great.
Good, you know?
I'm happy to give that to you. Yeah. Talk to you Monday.
Okay. Later.
Okay. Bye.